Well, the tape's rolling, and as you know, this is just a free-flowing discussion. We're just figure out later what parts of it to use.
Okay, and you jump in and help me out, Pete, whenever I need it.
Sure,
please.
If I know the answer.
Okay. you do, I'm sure.
Yeah. So this is Dave Radlauer, and I'm talking with Daphne King. Daphne worked very closely with Clancy Hayes. In you want to tell us what years that was, Daphne?
I don't even know. I think it was the late 40s and early 50s, probably from 48 or 7 to 52 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
I know it was about 5 years.
Now, you worked together as a songwriting team.
Yes. Yes. Not the customary one, however. He being a musician, you'd normally expect him to write the music, but he didn't. I did. And I, being a professional writer, might normally have been expected to write the lyrics, but he did most of them, at least the important parts.
Mm-hmm. Now, you described to me a method where, a division of labor where it was very easy for you to write melody.
Oh, yeah. It just came out of thin air, and it was done. And whatever I did, the first time I tried it, it worked. And he had the same ease and facility with lyrics.
Mm-hmm. So a song would come generally from the melody? You would present him a melody, or what? How did that often happen?
They sometimes started with a melody, and sometimes with just a few words. But
mm-hmm.
The best ones, both the words and the melody came together.
Mm-hmm.
It varies with each one.
And you wrote songs for various purposes.
Yeah, we wrote some Dixieland, and then Clancy wanted a follow-up hit to Huggin' and a Chalkin'. So we wrote some what was then known as pop music, popular music,
uh-huh.
In a big band vein. And that was fairly successful, but at the time when the big band fad was on its last legs.
Mm-hmm.
So the timing wasn't good there.
Now, you described for me several specific tunes that you had worked on together, such as On the Midway, I think you mentioned.
Yes. That was a harmless little waltz that didn't amount to much, but was kind of pleasant. Never did much.
Mm-hmm.
We wrote one for the Dixieland, in the Dixieland genre.
What was that called?
Traveling Shoes.
Uh-huh.
And I started writing that. I have to cough.
Mm-hmm.
But I started writing both the melody and the lyric, and I got stuck, badly stuck, and I couldn't get unstuck. So Clancy phoned, and I told him the problem I was having, and he said, let me have a look at it. And he came over, and 20 minutes later, it was all done. He had that kind of incredible ability, genius, I guess you call it.
Uh-huh.
And that's still being played.
Mm-hmm.
I think...
Do you know how that goes? Do you remember how that goes?
Yeah, I do. You want me to sing?
Sure. Why not?
Oh, Dave.
I'm trying to think if that's one I've heard done. Does it have sort of a gospel sound to it?
No.
I'm thinking of another Traveling Shoes.
Yeah, you're thinking of the Louis Armstrong one. That is gospel.
Okay.
Yeah. No, this is different.
Okay. And then you also mentioned a tune that you worked on with Clancy called In New Orleans?
Yes. That has a long history and long twisted history. The impulse to write it came from a clarinet player named Evans, Red Evans, who had played it as a counter melody and something that we'd recorded for fun. And we thought it was minor and very interesting. We thought we could pick it up and turn it into something. And that is the melody that starts out in New Orleans. Excuse me, I got a cough again.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Daphne, was that Red Evans or Slim Evans? Or did he use both
Slim
names?
He used both.
I see.
Anyhow, I wrote the bridge for it, and it had originally been planned as a Caribbean tune. That was my idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so
Caribbean
I wrote,
or a calypso, like a calypso?
No, I wrote a kind of a Latin bridge for it.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, the other day, Jan Scobie told me she really liked that Latin bridge. But anyhow, Clancy, without my knowledge, rewrote it and moved it from the Caribbean to New Orleans. And I had no complaints about that. It pleased me very much. And you still hear it played. I think, I don't know who's playing it, but I know it is still played.
Traditional or Dixieland bands?
Yeah, traditional.
Mm-hmm. Pete, I see you scribbling notes over there. Did you have any questions or things that come to mind?
No, I just like to know all the tunes that Clancy wrote.
Mm-hmm. I think a tune that's become very popular in the last few years is Broken Promises.
Well, that's mine. I wrote that.
And that actually dates back to the Yerba Buena band?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the first one to record that was Lou Waters. And I wrote that as a Western tune. And I'm told that the Waters band didn't want to record it because they said, that's a Western tune. That's not jazz. But anyhow, they did record it, and it's slowly gained popularity ever since.
Mm-hmm. I understand it's on the hit charts in Germany?
Yes, yeah, but it's a country Western in Germany. I got that from Robbie Rhodes of the South Frisco band.
Mm-hmm. And they've recorded Broken Promises.
Yes, and damn well, too. They're so wonderful.
Yeah, Vince has a good feel for that type of material, Vince Saunders.
Yeah, well, Vince is a superb musician.
And then you described to me a series of other styles of tunes or types of tunes that you wrote for children?
Yes, we wrote some children's music. One was about a cricket called Bow-Legged Bill, and he couldn't play like the other crickets because his legs were bowed. And he tries and tries and finally goes, and he gets a doctor to prescribe vitamins, and they straighten out, and he becomes a superb musician. And the other one is about a little dollhouse under a Christmas tree. And this little mouse finds it, and he has all his friends move in, and they play the piano, and they're dancing and waltzing and having a wonderful time. Along comes a cat, and the little mouse finds a way to get rid of the cat, and then they finish up with the wedding under the shining Christmas tree. It's very sweet. It's a lot of fun.
Uh-huh. And do you remember any others?
Not other children's things.
Mm-hmm. What other sorts of things do you recall working on with Clancy?
Oh, boy. Oh.
How about Chi-Chi Bonga?
That's in New Orleans.
Oh, is that the same
tune? That's the one that turned out to be in New Orleans.
Oh.
I'm trying to think of some others. We wrote a couple that Freddie Martin picked up.
Mm-hmm. So these were tunes that were picked up by big bands or sweet bands.
Pop tunes.
Pop tunes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This is Dave Radlauer at, having a discussion with Pete Clute and Daphne King, who knew Clancy Hayes, who was a West Coast troubadour and minstrel, composer, banjo player, played lots of instruments, and just an all-around character.
Well, I would say, Dave, Clancy was primarily a lyricist. And I don't think they come much better.
Mm-hmm.
That it was very difficult for him to write music.
To write the melodies and the harmonics?
Melodies. Uh-huh. He had no problem with harmony, but melody was tough.
Uh-huh.
Huggin' and a Chockin' has another writer on it, a man named Kermit Goel.
Mm-hmm.
So either it's easy or it's difficult, and the same with lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have learned to do both, and I hate lyrics.
One of the reasons I wanted to talk with you was to help people who never saw or met Clancy get a feel for the man.
Oh, that's easy. He was absolutely charming. He was tall, well-coordinated, always well-dressed, very bald, and not a handsome man at all. But he was charming, and he was funny, and he was gentle, and mostly very, very kind. He had a tremendous, wild sense of humor.
Can you recall any examples, any stories?
Not specifically.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I can't.
But you remember him as a man of charm and humor and grace.
Oh, yes, tremendous. He had quite a nice social standing. He was not a grubby man by any means. He was quite elegant.
Mm-hmm.
He wore a lot of silk shirts and things like that, that not everybody was doing in that era.
Often see photographs of him in elegant vests.
Yes, yes. Yeah, he thought well of himself, and he took care of himself.
He was a tall man?
I thought he was tall.
Pete?
Well, I didn't think he was particularly tall, but how tall are you, Daphne?
Gosh, I think I'm about 5'6", or 6.5", even.
Oh, wow. Then he probably is tall.
Well, I mean, he was at least 6'10", I'm sure.
Yeah.
Or he looked like... Maybe you thought he was shorter because he got bigger and rounder.
Well, it seems like you had quite an affection for the man.
Oh, yes. Yes, I did indeed. I think most people who knew him and worked with him have a lot of affection for him.
Mm-hmm. So you collaborated for a period of, what, 7 or 8 years?
No, only about 3.5 or
uh-huh.
4,
uh-huh.
thereabouts.
Do you know if, does that overlap at all with the time that he was working on the Standard School broadcasts?
It did entirely, totally.
Uh-huh.
It was during that. And he got some very nice melodies that he took from that series and adapted. I don't know whether he published them or not.
Uh-huh. When you said took, what do you mean? His researches led him to this music, or?
Well, the music on the show was the result of a lot of very expensive, deep research.
Done by Clancy or whom?
Done by people 100, 200, 300 years ago.
I see.
So he took these, and if they had a particular appeal to him, and he adapted them for his own music.
Where did he find these materials?
They were part of the Standard Oil show. Standard Oil did tremendous research to do this show. It was called Jack of All Tunes, and it was on radio.
Uh-huh. He went by the name Jack of All Tunes?
He did on that program.
Uh-huh.
That they picked that one for him.
And so they paid for the research?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. And built an archive as part of this?
Yes.
Huh.
And it was all ready and done when it was presented to him, and they asked him to do it.
Uh-huh. So it they had musicians, they had materials, but they were looking for somebody who could put these materials over and make them interesting and entertaining.
That's
like.
Right. And uh-huh. with his bland presentation of music, and I think it was, there was nothing scary or foreboding about Clancy's way of coming across, that it was ideal for children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the children who heard it are very lucky, because I have never heard it.
Mm-hmm.
It was broadcast when I was at work. Dave, I am getting over a cold. Will you give me time to have a nice big cough?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
That was good on the Standard School. I didn't
Thank
know about
you very
that.
Much. We can edit that out.
Well, that's very interesting. So he was a guy who was not just an entertainer, but he also had a feel for the depth of the history of this music.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. His great musical idol was Jelly Roll Morton.
Mm-hmm.
and he knew an awful lot about him at a time when most people didn't. I got a cough again. Darn, I got this up in Sun Valley, and it doesn't want to leave.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just relax, and okay. if you need to talk a little quieter, that's fine. I'm getting you loud and clear.
Okay, that's good.
Okay. I'm chatting with Daphne King in Coos Bay, Oregon, who spent a couple of years working with Clancy Hayes as a songwriter. She would often write the melodies, and Clancy would often produce the lyrics. And so I don't know quite where to go from here. Anything else comes to mind?
No, except that the thing he's least known for, which is his commercial music, his advertising music, which was every bit as good and sometimes even better than his usual recordings.
Let's talk about that a little. Now, you mentioned to me that Clancy produced a lot of radio jingles.
Yes.
And there were a number of companies, and you collaborated with him on these efforts?
No, I wrote my own and produced my own with him.
Uh-huh.
So he was the performer, but he was not the writer or producer.
And what were some of the products?
Products? Well, he did a great number of musical jingles for Horse Trader Ed, who was a man who had a used car lot on Van Ness Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got him more business than he could handle, even.
Mm-hmm.
He did soft drinks. He did
Belfast. Yeah, you mentioned that there was a local soft drink brewery in San Francisco that was producing Mug Old Time Root Beer?
Yeah, we did that. I wrote that one, and I was very, very surprised a couple of years later to hear Jules Stein's song, Every Street's a Boulevard in Old New York, which is almost exactly the same melody.
The same melody as what?
Old-fashioned Mug Root Beer jingle.
Aha!
It was a cute little thing. It was very Dixie, and it had a little rap-a-tap-tap passage in it that the kids all liked.
Huh. And then I think you mentioned that there was there a dairy?
He had Tuttle's Cottage Cheese. That was his. I didn't have any hand in that.
Uh-huh.
But I have also heard his jingles on a national show reviewing the cream of jingles ever written in America.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, I forget which canned fruit it was, but he was glorious.
So this is another side of Clancy Hayes.
Yes.
And incidentally, with your help, I've attempted to track down some of those, but the original material seemed to be long gone.
Oh, I do have, if you really want it, I have his first recordings for No Dose Awakeners that I wrote and he made.
Are those of similar quality?
They're wonderful quality. There's a girl vocalist on there. I don't remember who she is, but she's very nice.
Mm-hmm. And these have a jazz or raggy or Dixie feel to them?
It's a little waltz.
Uh-huh.
And it's just music. It isn't any particular brand or type.
If you've got any way to make a cassette of that and send it to me, I'd see if I could include it in some way.
Well, I absolutely have, and I'll be happy to do it.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Anything more?
Not that I can think of.
And you're always welcome to call back, Dave, if you need something without my choking up or whatever.
Sure.
Or additional.
No, I think what we've gotten is good.
What does Pete have to say?
I was just listening and trying to get some of this down in my brain. It's very interesting to me because I'm a half historian, so I really like to hear those things.
Are you going to be in San Diego?
No, actually, I've got my own festival in San Jose. I guess we're competing this year.
Oh, boy. Well, you'll have a good time. I did last year.
Yeah, I hope. Well, maybe we'll see you in Coos Bay one of these days.
Well, I sure hope so. One thing I can tell you is that in the pot up in Kalispell.
Good.
Yeah, they have your recording and picture and bio.
Oh, thank you.
But I missed for Sun Valley.
Yeah. Well, maybe next year we'll do that one.
It might be worth a try.
Sure.
Okay.
Daphne?
Yeah.
Daphne King, thank you so much for sharing your recollections of Clancy Hayes.
Oh, thank you, Dave. It's a pleasure to talk about those wonderful days.
It seems like he brought joy into the life of everyone he was in contact with.
I think he did, and there was tremendous joy right in his music. If you hear his original recording of Huggin' and a Chockin', it is just joyful.